This week, we continue our consideration of Proverbs 10 through 29 with a message about those proverbs which concern one's internal mental state. That includes topics like anger, hope, sorrow, joy, and so forth. We've got about 30 of these, and in studying them, we will learn primarily that we must control our anger. Anger itself is not wrong, but we must control our anger so that we apply it proportionally, in the correct circumstances, and without leaping to it too quickly. As we have done for the past few months, we have no particular scripture reading since I will be citing the verses as I come to them, and you are encouraged to continue your study through Proverbs 10 through 29 on your own. Among verses which I have classified as discussing a person's mentality, about half of them speak to having a quick temper. What is it to have a quick temper? All of us will become angry in life. Being angry in a general sense is natural and healthy. God himself is angry sometimes, and so anger itself is not wrong. We would expect a person to feel angry when he suffers an extreme injustice, for example. However, anger is often misplaced, and when it is misplaced, it is wrong. It is wrong, for example, to be angry at someone who has done no wrong. And when I say wrong, I mean violation of moral law. We shouldn't get angry with people just because they do something annoying. But to have a bad or quick temper means to become overly angry, or to leap to becoming angry too quickly, or to be unable to control one's anger when it comes. To give some examples, if a gang of men breaks into your home and rapes your wife, and that doesn't immediately make you extremely angry, I would say that there is something wrong with you. That should make you angry, very angry, and very quickly. However, if someone kindly brings you a gift, and it isn't the gift that you want, and you become angry, well, then that anger would be misplaced. It is no moral wrong to fail to give someone his most desired gift, and if you get angry about that, then you have a bad temper. Or if someone does something wrong that is trifling, maybe by inadvertently saying something that is inappropriate, and you become angry enough to kill over it, then that would be a bad temper, because the anger would be disproportionately bigger than it should be. That's a cause for some annoyance, maybe, but not for outrage. Or if you leap to conclusions, becoming very angry before all of the facts are in, and becoming prepared to misjudge and then harm someone without a just cause, that would be a bad temper. Or maybe you become angry for a legitimate reason, say perhaps as the victim of a crime, but because you are unable to control that anger, rather than allowing the courts to convict and to hold to account, you just rush in and start attacking people, that would demonstrate a bad temper. So what we want is to have a good temper. We want to only be angry when there is a just cause. We want to wait until there is sufficient evidence that the wrong was done, and we want to direct our anger at the person who has actually done the wrong. We want our anger to be proportionate to the wrong, and we want to be able to control the anger and to channel it in an appropriate way. That is a big balancing act, and it requires self-control and training and patient endurance. Having wisdom means having the best goals and the best means of going about achieving those goals. The reason that it is wise to have a good temper is that it will help us to do the best things. If you have a bad temper, then you will let your emotions carry you away. You won't have the best goals, you'll be attacking the wrong person, making decisions without having all of the information, or attempting to solve a problem in a disproportionate and ineffective or unjust way. Anger itself is not wrong, but if you cannot control your anger, then you will make bad decisions, and those bad decisions will cause you problems. So, what do the Proverbs say about controlling our tempers? First, we should be careful to reserve our anger for actual misconduct. That means that we should not sweat the small stuff. Proverbs 12:16 says, "The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult." Insults are not grave moral wrongs. They are annoyances. We should do our best to ignore them. Proverbs 19:11 says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." People will often say and do things that offend you. Those are not moral wrongs. We should do our best to ignore them. Now, obviously, those things might be put into a different category than, say, slander or perjury, etc. The point, though, is that we should not let small things make us angry. And also, we should not leap to anger as a solution. An angry or violent response should be the response of absolute last resort, reserved only for when the cause is serious, when the case is definitively proven, and when all other options for resolving it have failed. Proverbs 14:17 says that a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. If you leap to an angry conclusion, you will likely find later that you made the wrong decision. You will needlessly inflict injuries on yourself, and people will hate you for it. Proverbs 14:29 agrees, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Proverbs 16:32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." The point there being that if you can keep control of yourself, then you can make the right moves instead of the wrong ones. A man might be strong, and he might have a strong army behind him, but if they respond with anger instead of with good strategy, then they will gain the city and lose the war. In addition to having anger reserved to the proper times and for the proper reasons, we must also ensure that our anger is not disproportionate. We want to have only as much anger and wrath as is necessary to effectively fulfill a just cause. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Bursting out into a rage and saying every horrible thing you're thinking is unlikely to help you achieve your best goals. In fact, it is likely to hinder you from achieving those goals. To be wise, you must learn to hold that back. For better or worse, people don't respond well to harsh criticism. Proverbs 15:1 says that, quote, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger," end quote. So if you're angry and you say angry things, you're only going to make the other person angry, and then you'll both be angry and neither of you will get anything done. In most cases, it is better to answer softly and convincingly than it is to start arguing. Proverbs 17:14 says, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out." Once you spill a bucket of water, you're never going to get all of the drops back in again. Quarrels are like that, very hard to clean up. Better to avoid letting your anger spill over in the first place. Proverbs 17:27 reminds us that whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So do that. Restrain yourself. Keep your anger in check. Don't let it get out of proportion. If you can't keep your temper under control, you aren't going to effectively solve problems, and you aren't going to have a peaceful and prosperous life. What you're going to have is constant strife. Several proverbs attest to this. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Proverbs 26:21 agrees, "As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." Proverbs 29:22 also says, "A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression." And as for the person who gets himself into such problems, you can't rescue him from it. If you take the consequences away from a person who would otherwise have wounded himself as a result of his temper, then he'll just keep on having a bad temper and inflicting injuries on himself anyway. So it is better to let him suffer the consequences. Proverbs 19:19 says, "A man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again." I have two more conclusory verses to wrap up our discussion of anger and temper. The first is Proverbs 25:28. "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. When you lose your temper, you are out of control. When you are out of control, you drop your defenses. Don't do it." And last but not least, Proverbs 21:7 says also, "The violence of the wicked will sweep them away, because they refuse to do what is just." Now, that one might fall better under a discussion of righteousness and wickedness than under a discussion of having a good temper. But we see the elements of bad temper there. A person whose anger gets the better of him might do something which is unjustifiably violent. That would be bad for him. So then, to wrap up that topic, it's okay to be angry when the anger is for a just cause and when it is proportionate to the wrong done. But that anger must be restrained until the case is definitively proven and until all peaceful options for resolution have been exhausted. Misplaced anger stirs up needless conflicts and does not solve the underlying problems. It is harmful. Avoid it. That gets us through the first half of today's topic. For the remainder of our time, we're going to discuss other matters of the emotive self. While there are many verses on the one topic of restraining anger, the rest are more of a grab bag on an assortment of topics. There will be little connective theme between them. We've just left the topic of anger, so let's look at Proverbs 27:4. It says, "Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy?" So as much misery as anger may cause, jealousy causes more. The word translated jealousy here in Hebrew is kenia. It can describe envy for many things, but all of the definitions I looked at described this first as the jealousy that a husband has when his woman is unfaithful to him. The word also often describes how God is jealous for his people. That makes sense since the marital relationship is an analog for the relationship between Christ and the church, and that is well documented. See Ephesians chapter 5 for a starting point on that. Proverbs 14:30 describes jealousy in this way. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Seeing that envy is so harmful, my first piece of advice to you is that you not envy, seeing also the 10th commandment, but then I also exhort you not to lead others into envy by doing things which would make them envious, like flaunting your wealth or taking their things, their wives included. Turning from jealousy to the topic of hope, we have Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Indeed. Often having pleasure in life is a matter of managing expectations. If you expect to get something and don't, then you will be let down. That is very unpleasant. And the better the thing is, and the more you hoped for it, the worse off you will be. But when your hopes are fulfilled, obviously that will fill you with joy. Proverbs 13:19 speaks to the same idea. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. That one is interesting in that it seems to leap between two disconnected topics. First, it's talking about fulfilling desires, but then it is talking about turning away from evil. The two are not necessarily disjunct, however. The suggestion, I think, is that turning away from evil is the thing that will help to bring about a man's desires. That would give the man joy, but if he is a fool, he will not turn away from his folly regardless. So we want our hopes fulfilled, and we should be wise and turn from folly. In doing otherwise, we will make ourselves heartsick. When a person has joy or sorrow, it is difficult to hide. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed." But then sometimes people do hide their emotions, and sometimes seemingly good circumstances end up bad. Proverbs 14:13 says, "Even in laughter the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Those who are anxious take pleasure in good news." Proverbs 15:30 tells us that "the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones." The Proverbs also tell us, and from all that I've heard, modern medicine confirms, that a good mental state has physical benefits. Proverbs 17:22, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." That crushed spirit, in fact, is harder to bear than a physical ailment. Proverbs 18:14 says, "A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" Life is easy for the cheerful, but for those who carry around sorrows, life is difficult. Proverbs 15:15 says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast." When we interact with those who are sorrowful, we should try to feel their sorrow with them. We should empathize with them and help them work through their troubles rather than to trivialize their pain with flippant appeals for them to cheer up. Proverbs 25:20 says, "Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda." As for what might give a person a heavy heart, the insults of a foolish person would do it. Proverbs 27:3 says, "A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both." No wise person wants to be belittled by a fool. If a fool belittles you, you are made to feel less than the fool is, and that is very low. This can also be particularly vexing because the fool often belittles a person for ignorant reasons, making false and presumptive accusations and so forth. When someone belittles you wrongly, try to ignore it and take a little comfort in the hope that it might make him look worse than it makes you look. Proverbs 27:20 describes how, no matter how much we get, we are often dissatisfied with life. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. Sheol and Abaddon are essentially the grave, so just as more people keep dying and the grave always wants more, so a man always wants more no matter how much he gets. And finally, it is our internal self that defines who we are. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man." We all have a physical body, but we are much more than that. A human is also made of an invisible self. We have a little of the divine breath in us. We are made in God's image, and so we have emotion and belief and reason. In the end, much more than our bodies. That is what makes us who we are. So these internal matters of emotion should not be downplayed. They are a fundamental part of our essence. And it is this internal mind which guides and determines our character, which brings about our social judgment. Proverbs 12:8 says, "A man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised." So if you want to get along with people, and as we have discussed before, you do, then having the right mindset will help you with that. To conclude then, we have emotions, and those emotions are an important part of who we are. If we will be wise, we must have control over our emotions. Particularly, the Proverbs devote much attention to controlling one's anger. Anger, let out of control, can cause us to do some pretty foolish things. It can cloud our judgment, leading us to wrong conclusions. It can cause us to act disproportionately. It can cause us to do injustice. These things are foolish because they can cause real harm. For this reason, a wise person will control his anger, ensuring that his actions conform with righteousness and good judgment. The Proverbs mention briefly a range of other emotions as well, emotions like envy, joy, sorrow, and dissatisfaction.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.